Welcome back to the Humans of Agriculture podcast. I'm joined today by Tessa Chartres, the 2024 Xander McDonald Award winner for Australia. Sounds like quite a regal title, doesn't it, now that there's an Australian and New Zealand winner, Tess?
It does. The Australian winners. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
It's very flash. Now, before we get into finding out and asking you a few different questions about who you are, the Xander McDonald Award, your mentoring trip, all of that, I guess a little bit of context for listeners. You're based in Deniliquin in southern New South Wales. You're the chair of the Southwest Music Regional Conservatorium and You're the general manager of business development at Murray Irrigation Limited. So, Tess, I think we probably need to start with a really big question. It's coming into Easter weekend. It's the annual Denny Rams versus Finley Cats. Who's going to win the netball and who's going to win the footy?
I've got to call Rams both. I mean, I've got some pretty tightly wed allegiances to the Rams. When I first moved to Denny, I played a season of netball there, and so I've got to back the Rams on that one.
I think I wouldn't be allowed back in the Riverina if I said Finley's not going to win, so we might just have to make a wager on this one.
We should, yeah, we'll touch base.
The Robertson family won't allow me ever to go back near them.
They won't. No. Well, you can back them in. We'll go into a red hot challenge.
We'll come back to the results next week. But Tess, I guess
sounds good.
You said when you first went to Denny, whereabouts did you grow up? What have been your connections to ag growing up?
Yeah, so I grew up in Bathurst. Mum and dad, both stock and station agents there in Bathurst. That's where they met. So pretty heavily tied to ag the whole time growing up. Grew up on a mixed grazing farm there, and mum and dad are still on the farm out towards O'Connell there. So yeah, I really grew up on the farm, loving life outside, not too worried about getting inside too much, just liked being out there chasing the sheep and cattle around. But then I ended up down in Denny for the Pretty Pine New Year's Eve ball a few years ago. A mutual friend dragged me down here and said, sounds like a pretty good party. So I came on down and met my now husband at that party that he was throwing. So loved the Riverina as soon as I came down here. Really, really warm community, and I really enjoyed the lifestyle on the river. So I made the move down here the end of 2017.
Well, there you go. It wasn't the 2015 ball.
Yeah.
Or 2014-15?
It was the second one. There was two.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was the second of the two, and everyone jokes now that Benny made it all work so we didn't need to throw another one. So
that's pretty clever by him, really.
Yeah, no, he did well. Did the job.
And what were you doing before you obviously met Ben, like moving to Denny? What were the options? What were you doing work-wise?
Yeah, so back in Bathurst, I was an accountant. I did my Bachelor of Accounting at CSU, and I was working at a local firm there in Bathurst, working full-time, studying part-time. Pretty common in accounting to do that, to do your study and work at the same time, do an undergrad role. So I did that for 4 years. And that was just off the back of some, I wasn't really sure what I was going to do with my life and my career, but I knew I wanted it to be around ag. I knew I wanted to stay in the regions. I didn't want to be in the city. And one of the partners there gave me some great advice, and he just said, Tess, if you can be a good accountant, then you can do whatever you like. You can be involved in whatever industry. And it turns out that was the perfect advice. So I did a little bit of a stint at a feedlot there in Bathurst. I was their cattle analyst and loved that, sort of assessing what genetics and what rations and all the days on farm and all that kind of stuff. So loved that. But then the opportunity came up to move down to Denny and jumped on it. So, and that's how I ended up at MIL. So it was the middle of the drought, 2017-18 drought. So not a lot going on in the region. So just jumped into MIL and started learning about how it worked and how the channels worked and how the region worked with irrigation. I thought I would be fine moving to Denny, only 3.5 hours from Melbourne, and not being used to farming my whole life, I didn't think it would be that much of a change. But water and irrigation was certainly a pretty big change for me and a really interesting learning curve that I've really enjoyed.
Before we jump into what Murray Irrigation Limited is and MIL, as you refer it to, what did you learn about the town? Because I've only ever been kind of in and around Denny, I guess, when there's been an abundance of water. Like, what was the town like? What was the vibe? And how was it impacted by the drought?
Yeah, it was, you could see the shops shutting down, and you can see that the impact that the drought has had. It just, there wasn't that sort of workforce that was around to keep farms turning over and the labour required to keep them active you know, harvest and irrigating and dairy cutting right back. And I think you could really see that economic downturn in the community, especially being new to it. You could see just it wasn't thriving in the middle of the drought, whereas you look at it now and there's a heap of new cafes have popped back up, there's shops popping back up. It's just a really different economic viability going on when there is water in the basin. So yeah, it's so dependent on it for all of those economic impacts.
And for you joining MIL, what were kind of your initial takeaways and yeah, maybe some of the assumptions you came in with coming from that Bathurst area down into an area which is so reliant on water?
Yeah, I didn't really understand the mechanics of the basin plan and how much policy could have such a critical impact on operations for a farm. I think that's something I wasn't aware of. And I remember when we were young hearing about the basin plan and seeing that on the news, I hadn't realised that that was really something that went on until I started living and breathing it a bit more. Whereas once I got into it, I could really see how policy was really having an effect on how people were living their lives and structuring their businesses and how cautious of it and careful, along with the opportunities of it as well. So there's just so much more to it, and it was far more complex and strategic, I guess, than what I had expected. And I guess being an accountant as well, the concept of water accounting is quite interesting to me, like all those frameworks that are going into it, and particularly in MA as well. So applying what I knew about accounting for money has been really interesting. Applying for accounting for water, it's in the end quite similar and just another way of having a commodity. So that's been a really interesting part of it too.
For us outsiders, can you explain a little bit about what MIL is and what the role is for you guys in the area?
Yeah, so I guess MIL is essentially a series of channel networks. We take water out of the Murray River at Yarrawonga, and then we deliver it to all of our farms across the footprint. So it stretches right from up at Yarrawonga all the way out to Warkal, almost to Swan Hill. So it's about 3,500 kilometres of gravity channels, 720,000-odd hectares of farming country that we deliver to. And we also deliver to the environment and help out with river operations for Water New South Wales and the MDBA as well. So it's essentially a water delivery company. So that's at its core what we do, just deliver water.
Simple as that. And plenty of stakeholders. Plenty of stakeholders involved across all sorts of industries and communities as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you can just see how reliant everyone is on the resource. So making sure that we do a good job is so critical to the whole region and everyone that lives here. And I mean, these are really long life assets as well. So I think that's something I've found really interesting as an accountant, making sure that this infrastructure is here for future generations and that people can keep farming here for a really long time. So, you know, a lot of our assets are sort of 50-year assets. So I might see them get replaced, but I may not. So just that sort of forward thinking around what this region looks like that far ahead of time is something that I really enjoy.
It's actually remarkable. Here I am trying to work out what we're doing in the next 12, 18 months, maybe in a whisker out to kind of 5 years. But the true impact of what you guys are working on really is multi-generational.
Yeah, multi-generational is the word that we use, and that's the word in our strategic plan that I spend quite a lot of my time thinking about. And, you know, I've got the twins, and I'd love for them to be able to be here when they grow up and have a viable community to live in. And that's really what I think about. It's back in the day when MIL was built, way back before the Second World War sort of thing. Those people had the foresight to build this for us, and now it's our turn to kind of make sure that it's here for the next few generations to come.
In big news from us, we're excited to welcome Rabobank as a partner of Humans of Agriculture. So, who have we got from Rabo this week?
G'day, my name's Angus Gidley-Baird. I'm the Senior Animal Proteins Analyst with Rabobank Australia. Just like our great friends at Humans of Agriculture, we also have a podcast channel. And this month, I've caught up with my colleague, Lance Zimmerman from the US, to understand what's going on in that US cattle market. The US is very important for Australia. It regained its position as our largest beef export market last year. And what happens over the next 12 to 24 months over there is going to have a key influence on the Australian cattle market. Tune in to listen. Search for Rabo Research Australia on your favourite podcast platform and keep up with the latest agri trends. See you at Beef.
Do you think, and yeah, if you don't mind me asking, do you think like going through your 20s and I guess having friends in the Riverina and all of that, like coming in and out, but then when you move down there full time and then having kids and being a mum, has that really changed the way you look at the work you do?
Yeah, I think it definitely has. I think that's got to be there for them. But I also think regions like this and the regions in general are so critical to solving some of the problems for Australia as a nation. I mean, we're seeing at the moment such pressures on cost of living, housing prices, food prices. These are national issues. And I think if we don't do a good job of making sure these regions aren't here and doing what they need to do, that those issues are only going to get worse for the metropolitan areas. So it probably goes even bigger than that for me now. I think the future of Australia is quite reliant on these areas. And the basin's a big thing, right? Like, it's not just the MIL footprint, but altogether the basin is essentially providing most of the food that is going to see Australia. And I'd like to keep seeing people move a little bit more regionally, and that looks like these communities being somewhere that people want to live. And that's why I do my work with Southwest Music as well, because I think the arts are such a critical part of making those communities somewhere people do want to live. You know, doctors and teachers and all those sorts of things, that the professional services that need to come into our businesses and support our families and our lifestyle, they need to be there as well. So we need to be making these communities as good as they can be to facilitate that.
How has like the regional music conservatorium benefited you, like having moved to Denny? Were you aware of it beforehand?
No idea it was there beforehand. I grew up playing at the Bathurst Regional Conservatorium. So I started there when I was 6, I think. So music's always been a massive part of my life, but I didn't know we had the conservatorium in Denny, and we're very lucky to have it. We've just been fortunate enough to get a grant from the New South Wales State Government to rebuild the con in town. So we're in the process of doing that at the moment. So it's going to be amazing to have a facility like that in the main street of Denny, where we can have brilliant artists come. I mean, there's a great music culture around Denny with the Ute Muster, and we're well known for that, probably better than anything else. So to expand on that through education and culture and the arts into the community is something that I think is really important for us.
Have you got a vision like for what the region and maybe what Denny could be as a town, where you weave the agriculture side and the music, cultural, art side? Like, what if, yeah, if it was a blank canvas and anything was possible, what would you love to create in Denny?
Oof. I think the foundations of it are already there. And I think when you describe something like that, I see it as almost quite cyclical. I don't know that it's a static being for Denny or regional communities like it. I think it looks like continuous growth. And I mean, we're kind of seeing it in the bigger regional hubs, right? Like if you think about Bathurst, I can see that there. I think about Orange, I think about Dubbo, I see it in Echuca and Albury, a little bit closer to where we are now. Those places are all kind of gaining momentum, but they're also filling up quite quickly. I think there's a really big piece of me that wants to keep the country charm of Denny. We can't let that get away from us. But what I'd really like to see is a collaborative space where we're just targeting continuous improvement. I don't know that I could fix it down to one solid state.
Yeah, that's cool. It's definitely a special spot down on the Edward.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's awesome. And yeah, the rivers down here are so special too, the beaches. My kids keep asking me to go to the ocean beach at the moment, and I just keep reminding them that we've got the river beach right at their doorstep. So that kind of understanding of what's out there is, we've got national parks right on our doorstep and we're so lucky. But to have forward thinking and collaborative approaches to solving problems, I think we're so close. So we can just keep working on that.
Do you guys have like nippers in town at the river beach? Because I've seen it in Wagga.
No. So we should do that though. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So Wagga do it where they have like It might even just be a school holidays kind of thing, but because obviously kids near the coast learn about ocean safety and whatnot, and they do the nippers and all of that on the river beach. That's an idea.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
It'd be so fun. Little Sunday morning.
We sponsor swimming lessons as part of what we do. We obviously, with so much water around our footprint, that's swimming lessons are a huge part of what we push for. But I like that. I think I'll do my business development. Sure, I can have a crack at that one.
Yeah, perfect. Good luck with it.
I like
we'll watch this space. We'll come up for flags.
Sounds good.
Now, with your application for the Xander Award, with winning it, you get a mentoring trip.
Yeah.
Did you have a specific project or a specific area in mind that you were really looking to kind of work on and develop?
Not really. I think there is one part that I have thought about, which I think with the basin being so big, I would really love to see how the policy is impacting people in other parts of the basin that I'm not quite so exposed to. So I'd love to get down to South Australia and learn about the challenges they have. And I'd love to get up north towards Queensland and understand the floodplain harvesting concepts and what they need from their water as well. So for me, it was really an opportunity to get out there and see things beyond my own backyard and understand other people's opinions. And also just broadening my horizons around how people are doing business in ag at the moment. I think that's one of the downfalls of being in regional communities, and it helps having technology so much better the way it is and the work that you do. But there's nothing quite like going into someone else's business and understand the challenges they have and how they might be applicable to what you're doing, even though on the surface that might not be obvious. But usually they are tech and policy in particular. Which are both under my remit at work throughout everyone's business. So just seeing how they're facing those challenges. I think building good culture is another one that I'd like to
see how other people approach that.
Seeing how other people approach
that
would be great. And just sort of finding out what great things people are doing.
Well, I don't think there'll be any shortage of that based off the people in the network.
Absolutely not.
What did you take away? We had the summit just recently over in Queenstown. What were your takeaways?
Yeah. They were a big couple of days. I don't think there was any one point of what someone said that I took away from it. I think it was more the feeling in the room that was, and the value of that network is what I walked away so appreciative of. And I mean, you've been in that network for a little bit longer than me, but it was quite humbling and really took me aback how sort of willing people were to share their knowledge and their experience with you to make you a better person, but also so interested to hear in what you were doing for them to learn from as well. So I think that's a really rare culture, and it shouldn't be, but there is something really special in that room that makes you feel like what you're doing is valued, and that your opinion and what other people are doing is valued as well. So, yeah, I saw a thing on Instagram, and one of my favourite people to follow is Adam Grant, and he's an organisational psychologist in America. And his post when I got back, which was uncannily timed, was about unplugging to recharge and for burnout and stepping away from stressful environments. But it was about not only unplugging but also plugging in to things that charge your battery. And I think that's what that room was last week. When you plug into people who are so forward thinking and looking for solutions to problems and are so positive about what the future holds, that's not just unplugging anymore. That's plugging into things that fuel your energy, and you can come back to normal life and have another crack at it and with a new sense of recharged energy.
God, you should have done the summary at the end of it. That was so good. I couldn't agree
more. I've had a couple
of
weeks of reflection now, though.
Oh, it was, I think you've nailed it. Cause I think it is. It's kind of, it's stepping away, and it's work, and it's intense in terms of some of the topics and the conversations and things you have. But at the same time too, it's, as you say, it's around positiveness and progressiveness. Like, it's kind of going, how do we be better? How do we support people? How are we make ourselves better so we can have a better and bigger impact and everything that goes with that.
Yeah, and how do we do that together? Mm. You didn't, I sometimes I think we all get into our own lives and we're ferrying away trying to make good of the world, and you kind of forget that you're not by yourself. And that's what that really hit home for me as well, was we're not in this alone. There's lots of people, even though it might not be your specific industry, there's new ideas out there that can help you get on the right direction. And that was just so reassuring and beneficial, I'm sure, for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think I was chatting to someone afterwards, and I said, I was surprised at how many CEOs were kind of present for the 2 days in there. I was like, you just don't see that. Normally people are on their phone or whatnot. And he was like, well, we've got just as much to learn by sitting there and being present as anyone else in the room. And sometimes we actually need to listen more. So,
yeah. And even the speakers too, which I find interesting. Like often when you go to a conference, a speaker will just pop in and then pop out, do their piece and go back to their job. But that wasn't the case. Those people were all so invested in sharing what they know, but then also learning from everyone else. They were there for the whole 2 days, so engrossed in what was going on. It was amazing.
It was. We'll have to run a little follow-up later in the year when applications are back open and you're a little bit further into, you might have checked out different areas of the basin, or you might have had another trip over to New Zealand. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, that's on the cards.
It is. No, Tess, thank you so much for joining us for a chat, and congratulations on being the winner. And we can't wait to follow this journey and see what you do.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that's it for another episode from us here at Humans of Agriculture. We hope you're enjoying these podcasts. And, well, if you're not, let us know. Hit us up at hello@humansofagriculture.com. Get in touch with any guest recommendations, topics, or things you'd like us to talk and get curious about. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. Rate, subscribe, review it. Any feedback is absolutely awesome and we really do welcome it. So look after yourselves, stay safe, stay sane. We'll see you next time. See ya.